Welcome to Publishing Cousins, where family meets the fascinating world of books. I'm Melissa Lesher, the author.
And I'm Nikki Becker, the illustrator.
We are partners in publishing.
Ever wonder what really happens behind the scenes in publishing? Well, you're in the right place. Every episode, we'll be pulling back the curtain on this wild and wonderful industry, sharing our own creative adventures, and dishing out hard-earned wisdom about writing and illustrating for publication.
From manuscript mayhem to deadline drama, from sketch submissions to final flourishes, we're bringing you the real deal, served with the hefty side of cousin banter and plenty of laughs. Whether you're dreaming of seeing your own work in print or you're just a book lover curious about how the magic happens, we've got something special for you.
So grab your favorite beverage, settle into your comfy chair, and join us for an insider's journey through the world of publishing. We're the Publishing Cousins, and we can't wait to share our stories with you.
All right, welcome back to another Publishing Cousins episode. Today, we're going to talk about informal and formal education. However, we have touched on this topic throughout our previous episodes. So today, we're kind of focusing on a few things: the author-illustrator communities, your go-to experts, and conferences. And so Nikki is our expert on this podcast when it comes to author-illustrator communities, because she does a lot with those. So Nikki, I'm going to let you kick it off with that.
Okay, so I don't know about being an expert, because I've just dove into this. I mean, I've always been a part of, I think, illustrator communities, but I always did it because, you know, you work from home and you're by yourself and you want some camaraderie. And I've had some of those things that you go along for a while and then they kind of fade out, and then you try and find another one and they fade out. But I've realized probably in the last month and a half just how incredibly important these communities can be. Now, this community can be two people. It can be one person. It could be 500 people. There's all kinds of ways to find this for yourself. You can even start your own, which is what I have recently done, because I was finding that the communities that I would tap into, there were too many levels. So like there were too many people at all the different stages of their careers, and it was too much. Like I didn't really want to be the person that was a mentor, because I was going through my own trials and tribulations and I needed help. I wanted help. And so I was finding there were communities where I was being asked for help all the time and I wasn't getting anything out of it for myself, which isn't a bad thing, but there should be a balance. Then I would join another group and it would be the exact opposite. Like I would be too far behind the people who were in that group. So I decided, hey, I know enough people at this point that I'm going to start my own group. Now, this group was hand selected by me and another friend, because we both know the few people that are a part of this are in the same place as us in their career. They either feel stagnant or they're ready to jump to the next level and they're not sure how. So I've kind of built my own community. The hardest part about that is finding a meeting time where you can all come. And it's not hardcore. If you have to miss, you have to miss. We're still going to do it. But if you have to miss, you know, it's just life happens. But we finally got it to work because we are coast to coast. We have East Coasters and West Coasters in this group. And so finding a time with the time zone differences, it was kind of tough. We have had 3 meetings and we are all very, very happy about what it's made us do in the last month. How it's pushed us, how it's motivated us, how it's inspired us to do the next right thing on our goal list. So I'm not an expert. I'm just trying. I'm putting myself out there and I'm trying to see, because I think that there are all kinds of places on the internet that you can go to get this. Because maybe you live in a big enough town though, where you have 3 or 4 illustrators that you could create like a night where you all get together at your favorite coffee shop and do a coffee and illustration group. But I am too rural. There's not really anybody else near you know, within at least an hour. And there is, we've talked about SCBWI, Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and each state, some of the bigger states have several different chapters within that state to accommodate, but my state only has one chapter, and most of those people are in Indianapolis, and I'm still too far away from that. And SCBWI for me has been a great resource for many years. But I'm at the point with that I'm more of a teacher than a student. And I'm wanting to still be a student on the things that I'm needing help with. So I'm not getting enough out of it to make it worth my time. But that is an excellent resource for people who are newer in the industry, and trying to reach, you know, trying to get up. And there's an excellent community there that falls into the conferences and critique groups. All kinds of things are there. So if you are at that point in your career, that is one of the best resources out there for illustrators starting out, or even the first number of years into it. But for me, I'm a little past that. And I'm looking for people who are multi-published, and who have gone through the highs already and have had lots of success. And then we've kind of ebbed and things have slowed down, and how do we build ourselves back up again? So sometimes you have to create your own group. There are groups out there on like Facebook, but a lot of those groups have thousands of members, and it's too much to keep up with. And so I've kind of let go of that, but that stuff is out there too. It's just, there's so many options out there, and it's okay to try something for a while. And if you're not getting enough out of it for the time that you have allotted in your day or your week or your month, to where you're getting what you need to move to your next goal, then it's okay to walk away from that and go in search of another one.
Yes. I would agree. There's so many on Facebook, but even when they're really large, a lot of times if you can't, you can connect with 3 to 5 people in there, and you guys can pull out and you can be your own. Not you pull out, you can still be part of that group, but you could say, hey, it really works for us to meet on Tuesday nights through Zoom at 7 and do critiquing or brainstorming or writing sprints or whatever it is that you're looking for. I also did the same thing, Nikki. There are so many, it overwhelmed me. And I think we've already talked about how social media already overwhelms me. But I also started my own group because I didn't find any groups that were specific to historical Christian romance, which was what I was writing. And from there, I have 3 wonderful, wonderful ladies that have become amazing critique partners. I would say you definitely need to find the right fit, like you were talking about, Nikki. You don't want to be in a group where you're the only expert and you're getting nothing out of it. But you also don't want to be in a group where you're clueless, right? Because everybody's up here, because you're not going to get anything out of it. So you just got to find that right mix. And I've mentioned before too that I'm part of ACFW, so it's the American Christian Fiction Writers Association. So that one's nationwide. And then they have chapters within each state, just like you were talking about, Nikki. Yeah. So definitely getting plugged into something like that is helpful. Again, for Indiana, they only have one chapter as well. We try to get as centrally located when we meet as we can, but a lot of times it's through Zoom that we're meeting. The other thing, this kind of segues into it, is conferences, because conferences is where you network and you find and you discover people at your level or that could be helpful, that maybe already have a group going that you didn't even know about. And they're just a lot of fun, whether they're online or they're in person. In person is always better, I think, than the online, but you can still make great connections through the online conferences as well. If traveling is not in your budget, which I totally understand, that's not always possible.
For illustrators and authors alike in the children's realm, so we all have probably read in our lifetime the magazine Highlights when we were kids. Highlights actually has a place that's kind of like camp. There's cabins that you stay in, and they have a mess hall with a chef. And when you can go there, they have, so there's a website, we can put that link up too. And they have things for illustrators and authors of all kinds all year long. And so they do a big illustration camp in the summer months. They put out scholarships so you can submit manuscripts or and or illustrations for all these. There's several different scholarships that you can apply for based on what you do. There are things like that too. So the Highlights also offers that for writers and illustrators in the children's market. And they do several different specific types of camps or retreats. I will tell you what, and I'm sure it is for writers too, brainstorming is probably the most fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. Even if you just have one peer, like through Facebook Messenger, because I have a few. There are times where I'm stuck on a sketch and I'll say, hey, will you look at this? What's it missing? What do I need to change? Should this be here or there? Or, you know, what do you think? And you send it along through Face Messenger, and with minutes or seconds sometimes, you know, sometimes it's longer depending on if, you know, my brain is, you know, at 9 o'clock at night and the person is, you know, in California and she can't get to it right now because she's making dinner. But, you know, it can be a great critique source. It can be a great, I love it for the brainstorming aspect where you have an idea and you've got like bits and pieces of that idea, but it needs to have a little more for it to really come together. That's where having these groups, even if it's just a trusted peer that you can go to when the thoughts arise, brainstorming with those community people that you have, mm-hmm. can really push, motivate, inspire you to maybe the next book.
Yeah, I agree. I will say, just so my Literaryscape newsletter goes out every Friday, and I always keep a running list of conferences, writers' conferences that are going on at the bottom of that newsletter. And I also put in links to writing contests too, so if that's something you're looking at. So if you're looking for, like, I need a list, just hop onto literaryscape.com, sign up for my newsletter. You'll get the first 9 chapters of my book for free if you do it too. But then every Friday, that list is there for you. Now, mine are centered around Christian writers conferences. So just so you're aware, that's all I keep listed there, just because that's the area that I write in. So, but there's lots of places. Even if you were to go Google, you know, an illustrators conference or a writers conference, you're going to find a whole list of them online too. So definitely get plugged in there. The fun thing is too, once you get to a certain level, they'll have applications. So like, if you would like to teach a course, you could do that. And sometimes that helps you get in at a discounted price, or maybe you can get in free. So then you just have your, you know, your travel expenses. Anyone that is looking for a formal education in writing, I highly, highly, highly recommend the Authors Conservatory, because I think that they are reasonably priced and they do the whole package with you. So not only are you working on your writing and your craft, but they also have experts on their faculty that are going to help you with the marketing and the business side of being an author, because being an author is not just writing a book and publishing it. There's so much to the business side of it. And that kind of leads into our go-to experts. You need to have your go-to experts, whether it's podcasts, blogs, books, you know, that they've written that you go to, but you need to have them. And so Becky Kapitsky is my go-to business expert, and she runs her own called the Inspired Business Co. And I'll put a link to her stuff there. But I also, this is for authors, and I don't know, Nikki, if you have any other experts. I'll pause in a minute and let you share those. But Thomas Umstead Jr. is well known for his he has 2 podcasts, the Novel Marketing Podcast, and oh, there's another one, the Christian Writers Podcast. I can't remember. That's terrible. I'll put a link to both in there. But if you go to authormedia.com, you'll find all his stuff. But he also has courses put together. So the one I told you about, I think I've mentioned it many times. There's a free one on how to build your author website. But then he has multiple courses covering a variety of topics for authors as well. My favorite one is the Obscure No More course. It's a bit pricey, but once you're in for life. And every time he adds something to it, you get it. At least that's how it was for me, because I got in on his beta piece of that. So that's another great thing about listening to podcasts. These experts tend to put out these limited time deals for those who are listening and following along. So just kind of keep that in mind. And then my other is Misty Embeller, and she's an author, but she also runs her own publishing business. I have a dear friend that writes for her. She's gotten 2 contracts with her. Ooh. And she has a lot out there on building your platform. She's an expert in it, especially for authors. Anyway, she's got a lot on her site. I'll put a link into that. Those are my 3 go-to experts that I go to constantly. Yeah. There's many more because I have so many author friends due to my own podcast that I consider them experts because they've been doing it way longer than I am. And anytime I can shoot them an email and say, could you maybe give me an idea what to do with this? You know what I mean? So
yeah, that's where I'm at. I've gotten to the point where I'm so sorry. I don't have all of the, hey, go here, go here, go here. This person, this website, this podcast. Because I've gotten over the years to where I've got that handful of peers that I just say, hey, what would you do for this? And they shoot back an answer.
And it's a slow growth. It is a slow growth. So just be prepared for that. You aren't going to be famous overnight. It's just not going to happen.
I hope you're.
If that's what you're going for, I don't know what you're going for. Or you're not going to sell 1 million copies, you know, off your first book. But to be honest, I used to get frustrated with the slow growth because I'm one like I decided to do, I'm going to do it and we're going and boom, right? Like that's just me. But I've learned to love the slow growth because if you knew all the little things that I've tried and then decided that's not really what I want and abandoned and changed course, you're thankful you can do that when you're still in the small unknown category, right? That you're still growing. It's a lot harder once your brand is set in stone. People know this is what they know. This is what they expect. It's a little hard to change course at that point. So enjoy the beginnings, the learning, and the slow growth. I love this because I love that you have your illustrator connections and I've got my author connections. And the biggest thing from this, I hope that you guys all walk away with, is to continuously learn, get plugged into those communities, go to conferences, find your go-to experts that you can trust for sound advice, because they're going to help you make it.
And find what works for you. What works for us is, I mean, because look, we're both completely different. You're going to have your own path in this and you're going to find your own what works best for you. You've just got to try.
All right. And that's it for this episode. So we'll see you guys back next week. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Publishing Cousins. If you enjoyed our creative conversation today, be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcast. We'd also love it if you could rate, review, and share the show. It helps other book lovers find us. You can learn more about Nikki's portfolio and Melissa's novels at publishingcousins.com. And if you have questions about writing, illustrating, or publishing that you'd like us to cover in future episodes, send them our way at literaryscape@literaryscape.com. Until next time, keep creating, and remember, in publishing, as in family, there's always room for more stories.